Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Well, how many knows what we need to use to combat those things of life, whether it's the coronavirus or anything else? It's just the name of Jesus. Amen. It's His name above every name today. He is the ultimate crown this morning. Amen. Come on, do you believe that this morning? Let's just give Him another appreciation of praise and worship from our hearts this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whew. Thank you, Father.
I just want to read a verse of promise from the Lord. Psalms 125, 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and evermore.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Come on, let's give Him praise for His word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
His promise to us this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you can, you may be seated in His presence this morning. I feel like there is a particular word that the Lord wanted me to speak today, so I have to believe that it is for at least one in this house this morning. And I want to be obedient to what the Spirit has spoken so that even if it is just one this morning, that God can do His perfect work. Amen. And I appreciate the worship this morning and how the Lord led. And I believe that it will confirm what we speak on this morning. In way of starting today, I want to draw your attention to a few scriptures that we use quite often. And they're kind of staples, if you will, maybe within the Christian faith. The first being this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of the darkness to experience His marvelous light. And now He claims you as His very own." Look at your neighbor and say, "You belong to Him." You see, He did this so that you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life." Look at your neighbor and say, "The good life," which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new." How many are thankful for those scriptures this morning? I believe, I don't know about you, but in my life, I use those scriptures quite often. And we use them often, I think, to probably describe or to define a few things. Number one, our identity, our purpose, or our position in God through Jesus Christ. How many are thankful today that we have an identity with God through Jesus Christ? And that identity has given us not only purpose, but it has given us position within His kingdom. How many knows that we have been adopted? Not many people would take that risk with me. But He said, "You know what? I'm willing to take that risk." And I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. You see, these scriptures are empowering, they are encouraging, and they are often and exciting. They bring an element of excitement or joy to our Christian faith. And we love to read them, we love to quote them, but do we live in them? Because this morning we sang a lot of songs about who Jesus Christ is, His authority, His position, His power, how we belong to Him and His ability to move in our hearts and in our lives. And how many know that's really easy to do it in a concentrated atmosphere like it is this morning with people who believe that very same thing? But how many knows when we walk out the door, sometimes it's a little harder. You see, we need to remember sometimes our identity, our purpose, and our position. You see, sometimes we battle with allowing the old to pass away. And I know we have kind of hit things of that nature within the last few months. And so I battled with the Lord and I said, God, that kind of feels like, in a way, it feels like a repeat. He said, just trust me. So this morning, I'm just trusting Him. Can we do that together this morning? You see, sometimes we battle with allowing the old to pass away. We're haunted by our past, by the mistakes that we know that we have made. Maybe nobody else knows those mistakes in detail like we know them. But we have a hard time walking away from them or maybe forgetting them. We stumble at the number of shortfalls that we have, and we can't seem to look beyond our own personal failures. Many times in life, we find ourselves and we're looking back or we're grabbing at, we're holding on to pieces of what God said, no, I made you a new creation. Old has passed away. Everything else has become new. Now, does everything become new instantaneously? No, it's a process, right? We call it sanctification. But how many knows as we walk, we should be walking further and further and further away from our past, amen, and closer to our present with Him. You see, we really want to believe that we are a new creation in Christ. It sounds great. It's amazing to think that everything that we were that was so messed up can be washed away and we can start that new journey in that life that we have through Jesus Christ. But you see, it seems like the old, for some of us, hasn't passed away. For some of us this morning, I think that we're still carrying a little bit of that past. And it's troublesome to us in ways that maybe it's hard to describe to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, but rather, I think sometimes we're in that position where it's just taunting us. We know that Christ has made us a new creation, and we know that we have started this walk and this journey away from the old and into the new, but it's kind of like the past is just a few feet behind us, and it's taunting us, saying, hey, it won't be long, we're going to be on equal ground again. I'm going to catch up, and you're going to be who you used to be, and you're going to do the things you used to do, think the way you used to think, and live the way that you used to live. And it's just kind of there trailing us, if you will. Yet at the same time, we know that God has not only called us away from our past, but He has also given us a way out of our past and into His presence through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who has indeed made all things new. Amen? Let's not lose sight of who He is, and He is all of those things that we declared this morning and so much more. Amen? John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He loved us to such a degree that He gave the one thing that He, in fact, loved the most. You see, what this tells us is that in our weakness, in our separation, in our sin, in all that could be our past, it didn't really matter what it was because God preordained, He pre-sent, if you will, Jesus Christ, who again came and willfully displayed the love of God and the love, not only the love of God, but the kindness of God, to the point where He took every sin and punishment that we would ever have because of those past mistakes and failures in our life. How many are thankful for Jesus Christ this morning? How many are thankful that He came and He created a new and better covenant for us to partake in? That we don't have to live in the old, that we can live in the new today. You see, what we need to remember is that covenant, everybody say covenant. Covenant always produces love. And covenant always produces kindness. Better understanding of that covenant that we have through Jesus Christ will help us better see and understand His love for us. I mean, you know, sometimes we struggle with believing that God really loves us. Just like Alex mentioned this morning, she sang it, but there were times it was hard for her to believe it. I've been in that same boat, and I'm sure that most of us have. Where you sing it, you believe it, you want to hope that that is so true, but you don't feel it. But how many are thankful today that He does indeed love us? You see, the more we understand about his love, the more able we are to understand and accept his kindness. Because how many know sometimes if we're unwilling to accept and receive his love, we can't really accept or receive his kindness. We struggle because we feel like we're unworthy. Anybody ever felt like they were unworthy? You see, the truth is we are unworthy. We don't deserve his love, do we? We don't deserve his forgiveness. We don't deserve his kindness. Yet despite our position of not deserving, Romans 5 and 6 tells us this: for when the time was right, the anointed one came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. I am so glad that Christ came in my state of desperation, in my state of separation, in my state of sin, and said, you know what? You're worth it. I love you. I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to express and show you my kindness. How many are thankful for the love and kindness of the Lord this morning? You see, what we often forget is that even in our weakness, he does still love us, and he still desires to show us kindness and to bring us into that covenant relationship with him through Jesus Christ. We see this truth exampled in many, many ways throughout the Word of God, in many different scriptures and instances and stories and accounts in the Bible. But about 10 days ago, I felt like the Lord specifically led me to David and Mephibosheth, and that is going to be really fun to say constantly this morning. So work with me, okay? If I start shortening it to like Meppy or something, know who I'm talking about, all right? So I want to draw your attention this morning to 2 Samuel, beginning in chapter 9 with verse 1. It says, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And the house, and of the house of Saul, there was a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him to David, he said to him, are you Ziba? He said, I, your servant, am he. The king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the unfailing, unsought, unlimited mercy and kindness of God? Ziba replied, Jonathan has yet a son who is lame in his feet. And the king said, where is he? And Ziba replied, he is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then the king David sent and brought from the house of Machir, son of Amiel at Lodibar. Now, basically, if we look back and we know today, we can understand that David was anointed to be king, but Saul was still on the throne, and David would not take the throne. He was waiting for God to hand him the throne. In this process, David and King Saul's son, Jonathan, became great friends, all right? They had a covenant friendship or a covenant relationship. And so David basically had Jonathan's full support and blessing as Israel's future king. He knew that his dad had messed up. He knew that God had anointed David, and he had basically said, David, I'm with you 100%, man. I understand, and I see what God's trying to do, and I'm behind it. And so they had a special relationship despite the cultural standards of that day, because the cultural standard would have said Jonathan was next in line. But Jonathan knew that this was not God's design nor his desire. And so he knew that after Saul's death or his inability to reign, that David would become king, and he was good with it. How many would be good with giving up your kingship? It's hard, right? That takes covenant relationship to do. And we can kind of get a glimpse into a little bit of their covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning in verse 14, because it kind of reveals a little portion of their relationship or friendship. It says, and this is Jonathan speaking to David. It says, and may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with this faithful love. Even when the Lord destroys all of your enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a solemn pact, or as the King James would say, a covenant, all right, with David. Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Again, covenant relationship, covenant friendship. And Jonathan knew enough to know that things could go south in life. And so he said, look, if you don't get to express this love and kindness to me, please express this love and kindness to my family who are left behind. And so David was more than willing to do that. And so ultimately, the truth is David would never get the chance. He would never get the opportunity to honor Jonathan in this manner, because before David could ever take the throne, both Jonathan and King Saul were killed in battle. And it was that battle that kind of sent a shockwave of fear through the family, if you will, of Saul. And so in that day, the natural course of action would be if a king who was not in the family line was taking the throne, they naturally would, you know, wipe out the other family so that there could be no current or future opposition to their throne. Well, that was not David's character nor his plan, but that's what everybody assumed. And so when the news came that Jonathan had died, Mephibosheth was only 5 years old, and his nurse grabbed him up, and in fear, she ran to hide him, and she tripped and fell, and he broke both of his feet and basically left him crippled from that point forward. And so now David doesn't know that really all of that has transpired. He's unaware that Mephibosheth is even out there somewhere. And so now he comes to this point several years later, and he's asking, is there anybody left? Is there just at least one person that I can find that's in the family of Saul that I can express the love and the kindness of God to, that I can share and show this covenant relationship with? And so somebody somewhere pipes up and says, yeah, the best guy to talk to is Ziba. So he talks to this guy, Ziba, who was Saul's head servant. And he says, yeah, Jonathan does have a son left, and he's staying at this other guy's house. It's kind of on the wrong side of the tracks, but you know, that's where he's at. And so David basically says, hey, well, go get him. I need to talk to him, all right? So now we see Mephibosheth, all right? He was the son of a future king. How many thinks that'd be pretty cool to grow up with, right? No? Okay, that's cool. I think it's cool, all right? To be there and to walk through town and be like, yeah, my dad's the future king. Yeah, I'm a name dropper. He's my dad. Because you guys know, if you got pulled over by a highway patrolman and you're... Come on, we've all, right? Do you know how many times I've been tempted to drop Wade's name when he was the chief of police? But I didn't do it. I held to my violations like a real man. I took my seatbelt ticket, all right? You see, we're tempted to do that, but again, Mephibosheth never really had that opportunity. He lost his father. He lost his grandfather. He was born into royalty and wealth, but really he lost all of that in one swift moment. And so now here he is several years later with all of that hurt, probably all of that anger, all many myriad of emotions that are probably trapped inside of him. He's crippled. He's dependent on others for his care. He's living in someone else's house. And again, in an undesirable town on top of all of that. The word Lodabar means pastureless. Basically, what we can learn and glean from history is that this particular town really wasn't good for agriculture at all, and that was the main source of life. And so it was kind of a rundown. Nobody really wanted to live in Lodabar unless you were just probably born there, all right? So we've got this crippled guy who has all of these issues, all right? And we've got this king who wants to show kindness. And so if we move on a little further in 2 Samuel, beginning in verse 6, we kind of see the end result of him coming. It says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did, oh, I knew I was going to mess that up as soon as I got to it. Obeisance. You know what it means to bow? I don't know why they couldn't put bow. Bow is so much easier than whatever that word is, all right? And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold your servant. And David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father or grandfather, and you shall eat at my table always. And the cripple bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon him such as a dog as I? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's son or grandson all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. And you shall till the land for him, you, your sons, and your servants. And you shall bring in the produce that your master's heir may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, grandson, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do according to all that my lord and king commands. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Now, I know that's a lot, and I took a little rabbit trail. But we're going to get back to where this needs to go, okay? You see, covenant not only desires to show love and kindness, it desires to remove fear. How many know sometimes fear will keep us attached to our past? It will keep us linked to the old that needs to pass away, but we kind of keep dragging along. You see, as fear is stripped away, that's when kindness and love can begin to do their real work. That's when we're more able to receive and accept what God has for us. You see, if we go back and we read verse 7, it says, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. You see, when we look at this, the first thing that David wanted to do was he wanted to restore everything that Mephibosheth had lost. Can I tell you this morning that God just wants to restore in your life everything that the enemy has stolen? That's what his desire is for you. You see, Mephibosheth originally thought, he's found me and now he's going to kill me. That had to have been his original thought. Now I have to go before this guy, and not only has my life been this miserable, wretched moment that it has been, but now my miserable, wretched moment is gonna end because this guy has found me and he's gonna wipe me out. But you see, when he gets there, David was excited. He was overjoyed to finally find somebody to share this love and this kindness with. And I know sometimes we think God's up there with this big hammer just waiting to smash us when he finds us. But can I tell you that he's really just waiting to express his love and kindness in our hearts and in our lives and restore those things that have been stolen, restore those things that have been broken and damaged in our lives. Amen? You see, there was an inheritance that had been lost originally, but the covenant of kindness that was in process now was in order of restoring. He had lost everything that potentially he could have ever gained. Never really knew the full potential of what it was, but in one moment, he summoned before the king, and the king says, hey man, everything that you think you've lost, I'm giving it all back to you. Everything that your grandfather had, everything that your father had, I'm giving it to you. I'm not keeping it for myself. It's all for you. It's all for your blessing. You see, in that one moment, what he did was David restored what was rightfully Mephibosheth's. And I know sometimes, again, the past tells us that we don't have rights, but how many are thankful that God has given us rights in his word? And through Jesus Christ, all right, the King of Kings, how many knows he wants to restore us to those rights that we have in him and in that authority that we have in him? You see, Mephibosheth would no longer dwell in someone else's home. He would no longer be dependent upon someone else to take care of him. He would no longer have to wonder where his resources were going to come for or lack for resources in any way, because now, again, he would have all of those things that once belonged to Saul and Jonathan. They would be his, the wealth, the land, and the workers. I find it amazing that here he is in a position where even though he's granted this, he doesn't have to wonder how things are gonna work out. How many have ever gotten a blessing and then you're like, this blessing feels like work? Y'all ain't got that kind of blessing yet. I've gotten lots of blessings like that. And you're like, I'm not sure if this is a blessing or an extra project. Now maybe? Now? Okay. You see, but what David does is he doesn't restore a project to him. He restores it fully, and he says, he doesn't even acknowledge really the fact that Mephibosheth is crippled. He just says, hey man, here's these servants. And not only am I going to give you these servants, but those servants of their servants are going to also work for you. You see, so he puts in a position to where it's not a project, but it's a blessing. It's an element of provision. You see, covenant kindness not only restores, it also repositions. David had restored everything that belonged to, again, Saul and Jonathan, to Mephibosheth. And by all accounts, that probably would have been more than generous, especially given the culture that says, hey, just wipe them out and don't worry about it. Take all of their possessions and make them your own. But David takes it one step further and he makes a permanent place at his table for Mephibosheth. Can I tell you this morning that God has prepared a permanent place at his table? There's a seat and it's got a marker and it's got your name on it. And ain't nobody can sit in that seat. It's there for you and you alone. And he's waiting and wanting you to understand that you shouldn't be in fear to come to him, because he wants to restore you and reposition you in that seat as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. That's what he has planned for you and for I this morning. You see, he sat at the king's table. He was no longer defined by his disabilities then. How many knows when he sat down in that chair and was pushed up to the table, nobody knew he had crippled feet? You see, he was no longer defined by his disabilities. He was no longer defined by his past. He was no longer defined by those things that seemed to linger. Now he was simply defined by the position that he had been given by the king. And that position was he was one of his sons. I don't know about you this morning, but that's good to me. To know that not only does God want to restore me, but he wants to reposition me. You see, the truth, however, is that the King of Kings has made a new and a better covenant for us today. And because of that, we need to also understand this, that he's inviting us to partake. He is inviting us to partake this morning. See, today you may feel broken, you may feel forsaken, you may feel like life has robbed you of what you deserve, you may feel even that you're being haunted by your past, even in this very moment, that you're haunted by the multitude of mistakes that you've made and failures that have accumulated that you want to leave behind, but you feel like they're just kind of, again, following you through life. You see, but again, he has made a way today for that everything that is old to pass away and that everything can be made new through Jesus Christ today, man. You see, he desires to restore all that has been taken and reposition you at his table as his son or his daughter this morning. If you guys would come this morning. I struggled all week. I knew the week before that God wanted me to preach this. And I struggled. I said, Lord, there's all of these other things going on. There's all of these issues within our country and within our culture. Are you sure that's really what you want me to speak on? And I feel like he already addressed the fear for the other things this morning. He took care of that. How many knows God is good and he knows what he's doing? Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. So this morning, I know that this may seem a little off, but I don't believe it is. Because every time that I tried to walk away from this, he simply just kept bringing it back before me. And he said, please let my people know that I am ready to restore them and reposition them. Because the old can pass away and everything can be made new through Jesus Christ. It's not a what if I'm worthy. It's not, well, I've been crippled and I've been maimed and I'm this and I'm that and I'm broken and I'm abused and I'm all of these things. No. Today, he just needs us to understand that what the enemy has stolen, he will restore. And everything that we think is crippling us, every past failure, when he pushes us up to the table, there's no evidence of that left. We're simply just his son or his daughter, forever at the king's table. Where you have been isn't as important as where he desires to take you. And that goes for me this morning too. Where we have been isn't as important as where he desires to take us. But to get there, we must embrace and accept the King's invitation and allow ourselves to be restored and repositioned in his love and in his kindness by his authority. You see, sometimes we're just on the outside. And it's not because God has distanced himself. It's not because he's chastising us or he's rebuking us for something. But it's just because we won't accept his love. We won't accept his invitation. We won't accept the fact that he wants to not just restore us, but he wants to reposition us inside of his love, inside of his kindness. You see, he will take us from those Lodibar places, those pastureless places, those useless, fruitless places. And he will take us from that, and he will essentially bring us to that palace moment where he positions us at his table. But we have to choose to leave our past and brokenness behind. It's just like Alex said this morning. She believed it, but she wasn't sure. She just wanted to, she hoped, but she wanted to know. But there was just this little bit of doubt, this little bit of unbelief. I think we all remember the story in the Bible where the father said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." This morning, he's right now, and he will help you through your unbelief. He will prove himself to be a kind and a loving king. He will prove himself to be a king who can restore and reposition you today. But you have to be willing to accept what he's offering today. Father, I thank you that God, even in the worst scenarios of life, God, even in our brokenness, God, when our past seems to still haunt us and desire to, Lord, consume our thoughts and even prevent, God, us from moving forward into good and better things. Lord, I thank you that you have made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ, God, to give us a new and a better covenant. Father, I thank you today that, Lord, you are still in the restoring and repositioning business. That God, no matter what those mistakes may look like, God, no matter where we've been, that's not what's important. But God, what's most important is that we simply just take the moment. God, we accept your love. We accept your kindness. And we allow your Holy Spirit to begin to move and restore us and reposition us. God, help us to understand this morning that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and that the old can pass away, and that all can become new. Lord, don't let us leave here today with any doubt. Lord, if we're in that same position, that God, we believe, but help our unbelief, God, let that transpire in this moment this morning. God, that all doubt is removed, and where our faith can't seem to make that next step. God, in our weakness become our strength this morning. Let your faithfulness, God, to love and to forgive, to restore, to reposition. God, let it be noted here this morning in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better time to surrender your heart and life to him. So if that's you this morning, we want to encourage you to come and allow us to pray with you and lead you in that salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. But maybe today you've just been struggling and there's portions of the past that just seemingly won't die. And you really want to believe that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, but these things keep tagging along and haunting you. I want to encourage you this morning to take a step of faith and to find a place to pray this morning and allow God to begin to restore and reposition you, because he loves you and he wants to express, he wants to show his kindness to you this morning.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.